Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
We've been doing a series on love. This is part two. How many honestly can say, and I got my hands lifted up, we need more of God's love. My wife says, yes, he does. Most days are good, she says. Oh, you get those days. But you know what? It's one of those things we grow more and more, but it's already in our hearts by the Holy Spirit to learn to love the way Jesus loved. Now, I got thinking about this. I said, Lord, you were the greatest example of love. But yet, you know how he told the Pharisees off, you brood of snakes and vipers and everything? I mean, he turned up the temple upside down and everything else and had a court and drove everybody out, kicked over. You'd wonder, well, that isn't love. I think sometimes we look at love as this wishy-washy little thing that just lets itself get walked all over. That's not what I'm talking about. Love isn't blind. Love isn't stupid. But there's something about God's love that's higher than anything. We're going to talk a little bit about that love. What love looks like, living the life of love. I need more of God's love. How many have ever asked God for his love for a person? Yeah. Lord, I need more love for this person. I need your love because I just want to duke them out. Come on. Let's be honest. I know your thoughts weren't good thoughts. Either were mine. But that's where we depend on the higher love of God. So let's look at this. The verse I want to go into is 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. So we're going to talk about three things here and what they really mean. Because a lot of times we look at things and we don't understand what is really behind it. So let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, Paul uses the word agape. Agape is God's love. He uses the word agape to describe the highest level of love in this world, which is also the kind of love God expects every believer, all of us, to demonstrate in our life. The word agape describes a love so completely different from what the world offers that it is only used in the New Testament to describe God's love and the love that should flow from the hearts of believers. Okay? So, we see love means you keep on loving no matter how many times you've experienced the pain of rejection. How many know that's hard? That's why it's supernatural. In our own selves, we can't do that. I mean, the first thing we want to do when somebody hurts us and puts us in pain is we want to just reject them for the rest of our lives and have nothing to ever do with them. Okay. I'm not saying you fellowship with these people. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, and we basically write them off in our hearts. Can't do that. We have to love them no matter what with God's love. We have to see way beyond the pain and the rejection. We have to see through the eyes of Jesus who this person is. And that's hard. It really is. When you feel the pain and the hurt that somebody's caused you, but that's why God's love is way beyond that. Look at what they did to Jesus. Look how they came against him and they blasphemed. They talked negative about him. They talked and lied about him. And yet, even when he told the Pharisees in a way off, in a sense, in a good sense, he just challenged them of who they really were and who they needed to be in God. That's what Jesus did. But you can guarantee he loved them because when he looked over Jerusalem, he wept. He wept over Jerusalem because of where they at. And they were killing the prophets and all the different things that happened through the years and the centuries. And Jesus was just moved with his love over Jerusalem and over the people. So we know that agape is a divine love that gives, it gives, and it gives, even if it's never responded to, whether it's thanked or even acknowledge. That's what it does. So write this down. You could say that agape is a love that isn't based on response. It's not based on response, but on a decision to keep on loving regardless of a recipient's response or lack of response. So it says this, that my wife's going to love me no matter what. We're going to love each other no matter what. We're going to love that person no matter what. That's God's love. That has to be the Holy Spirit. Amen? It has to be the love of God. Now, I'm going to share a few things about, you know, certain things that we run in and we encounter in life about this kind of love. So we know that it's not based on a response, but it's based on a decision. Have you ever said, I choose to love this person no matter if they like me or not? And our idea of love is that we're not going to retaliate. We're not going to, you know, come against them. But we're going to pray for them. Sometimes love, agape love, is just praying for that person whether they respond or not. Because there's some people that have hurt us so much that we can either be bitter or better through the process. We can either love them in praying for them, or we can hate them and be in a bad position, a bad place. And that's why Jesus said that we have to forgive them. You keep on loving no matter how many times you've experienced pain and rejection. Because agape love is such unconditional love, people, it would be called the highest level of love. It's the highest, most righteous, purest form of love that exists, because that's who God is. Can you imagine what happened if God would have gave up on us? Whoa. That's love. When I was the meanest, ugliest in my walk in the world before Christ, and even in Christ, God still loved me. And there was God loving me. And there was God loving you, Bill. There was God just loving us. Because that's who God is. That's God. God designed these verses that we're talking about to help you determine whether or not you're really walking in love, or you're walking in the highest level of love in your own life. And you know, we're going to challenge each other this morning. Amen? Because I'm in this with you just as much as anything, that every day I have to pray, Lord, I need your love. I need your love. Don't let me operate in the flesh, in anger, or any strife if people retaliate no matter what happens. So the first one is charity suffereth long. We've read that so many times. Charity in the King James suffereth long. The word macrothumia, which pictures a patient restraint of anger. Now, how can you have a patient restraint of anger? That's what it means. A patient restraint of anger, and therefore, long-suffering, or suffering long. And you know what, people? It can be translated as the words forbearance and patience. How many like the word patience? Be patient with me, because God's not finished with me yet. Amen? Be patient with each other, because God's not finished with us. He's still doing the work in our lives. Amen. This is how Paul described God to us. This is God to us. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Everybody say amen. Amen. Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Talk about long-suffering with us. I mean, sometimes we do the craziest, stupidest things, and God's still long-suffering toward us. Passion says, don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. I like that. Do you realize that all the wealth of this, his extravagant kindness, is meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance? That's God's love. The worst sinner in the world, the worst murderer, even Al-Qaeda, Hamas, all the different people that want to kill everything in its path, even God loves them. And do you know that Muslims are getting saved by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands? We don't hear that on the news. NBC ain't going to broadcast it. But we don't hear, but they're getting saved by the droves. People are coming to Jesus. They're seeing Jesus. Jesus is showing himself to all the Muslims, and they're coming into the kingdom. Even those that have killed and been with Al-Qaeda are coming to Jesus. They're having a great spiritual awakening in the Muslim world. God loves every person. And he's so tolerant of everything. Do you realize that all the wealth of his love and kindness is there, it says, to melt their hearts? If we would tell people about God's love instead of God's going to get you, or God's going to just destroy you, and you got all types of people out there. I mean, that doesn't mean that it dismisses us from repentance and doing what we're supposed to do. But when you really see the heart of God, his heart is to melt people's hearts so that they will find his son, Jesus. And that'll change their lives. It'll change them from glory to glory. Colossians 3:13 says this, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. So the Bible's saying that we've got to forbear one another. We've got to be tolerant of one another. We've got to love each other. And not only in the Christian world, but sometimes in our own families. Even in some of our jobs that we work on, we got to be tolerant. We got to be bearing with one another. Now, Paul's talking about the Christian church here. He's talking about forgiving each other. If you got to complain against somebody, forgive them. Does that mean it's easy to complain about everything? No. Instead of just saying, Lord, I just forgive him, I release him, and I just pray for him, and I'm moving on. Now, let me say this. There's some relationships that are really toxic, and you need to get out of those relationships. That doesn't mean that you don't pray for them. It doesn't mean that you don't have the love of God, but it's called wisdom. And sometimes there's relationships that will just drag you down, and keep you from doing the plan and the will of God. And that relationship can get toxic. Sometimes you just got to let them go and let God be God in their life. And I mean, I tell you what, people, when I got saved, all my friends, bye. I had to leave all those guys behind, and I was close to these people, but I was closer to God. And I started finding Christian friends, and I started finding people of like faith, and I started hanging around these people, and I let all those toxic relationships go. I mean, toxic relationships can happen in anything. And ladies, I'm just saying this as an overgeneral thing. A lot of times, women will meet guys and they'll think that these guys are going to change, and all of a sudden they're just, you know what? It never happens. That's why God says don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, because they will either drag you down. Listen, I've seen them change. I've seen them come to Christ. But that's not the norm of the Bible, the standard. So a lot of times, those relationships will drag you farther down than bring you up. But always find that person that's going to encourage you and build you up and help you to be who you need to be. Does that mean we quit praying for them? No. But that means that sometimes we have to use wisdom and don't get caught into the same cycle, but to begin to seek the Lord for his best for our lives. God, what do you want? What do you want from my life? So learning to forgive each other. Agape love is ready to forbear and patiently wait until a certain person finally comes around. That means, you know what? I'm not going to quit praying for you until God gets a hold of your heart. That just keeps praying for him. Thank God that my sister prayed for me and didn't give up on me. Even when I looked at her and laughed in her face and said, I'm never going to church with you. I'm not going to church. You ain't going to church. Right? And then a drunken stupor come home and look at her and say, hi, how you doing? Well, you can't go out. I'm going out. I ain't coming home. She would just cry and look at poor lady. Cry and look at me and go, I'm never going to quit on you. I'm going to pray for you. I said, you do that. Thank God. She did. But it was her prayers. She hung on. And this is what this word means, people. It means that it bears with that person. It forbears and patiently waits until a certain person finally comes around, or they make progress in their life, or changes, or hears what you're trying to communicate and teach them. It just says, you know what? I'm just going to pray, and God's going to get through. I'm not going to give up. Now, listen, understand me. It doesn't mean that a person stays in that situation where they're abused. That's not what I'm talking about. We know when to cut bait and go, because sometimes that can do more damage than good. Nobody ever needs to be abused verbally, physically, or anything. But you'll have people to say, well, you need to stay, and you just need to take that, and you need to love them. Well, what about them? Amen? So all of it's on me, but what about them? And so sometimes you just got to look at it and say, you know what? It's best for you to go or for me to leave. I'd be praying for you. I love you, but I got to move on. Does that make sense? And that can be with anything. It can be with anything. This is a picture of a person whose feelings for someone else are so passionate that he or she doesn't easily give up or bow out. Instead, they keep on going, going, and going, even though the other person doesn't quickly respond to them. The harder the fight and the longer the struggle, sometimes the more committed agape love becomes. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for us. Thank you for doing that for us. Help us to love with your love. Help us to have wisdom at the same time, but the love way you loved us. Second point, write this down. Hang on a second. Before I go into it, I want to hang on to that, but you guys can write that down. Let me say this. God has magnificently bestowed on you plenty of love. Listen, to be long-suffering in any relationship or situation, God's love has literally been poured forth. Remember, the Bible says that it's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love is there. It's that we have allowed the world and people to throw so many blankets on it that we feel like there's nothing left. We've all been there. But God's love is still in there. It's still in there. So when you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, he will release a river of divine love to flow forth within you and cause you to be supernaturally, notice how I said supernaturally, long-suffering toward that person who has frustrated you so much. Amen. Let's face it, human nature is short-tempered and it's intolerant. That's who we are. It's not who God wants us to be, but that's sometimes the way it is. But agape is slow to anger, slow to wrath, and it doesn't know how to quit. And God never knew how to quit on me. There was times, people, when I first knew the Lord, and I didn't know, nobody discipled me. I didn't know anything. I wasn't going to church at that time. I was a sophomore in high school. And I remember that I went deeper into sin, and I remembered I would be in the back of a car. I would be just high out of my gourd. And this is no lie. The Holy Spirit kept telling me how much he loved me. There was a time I said, you know what? God, just leave me alone. God wouldn't let me alone. It was the love and the kindness of God that melted my heart and brought me back. Amen? It's God's love. And this is the whole thing. Human nature isn't like that. But supernaturally, it supernaturally becomes stronger and more committed the longer it takes to get through to the heart of the one who is loved. And that's what God did for me. And God asks us to do the same for others, even when it's hard. Even when you don't want to. But you know you have to. Because it's a command. This is a miraculous love, people. A love that transforms and changes people's lives. When people see how committed you are to them for praying for them, no matter what they're doing, no matter how deep into sin they are, and you just go up and you put your arm around them, you say, you know, I love you, I'm praying for you. That doesn't mean you fellowship with them. That's not your fellowship. But that's different. You're praying for them. You're committed to bring them before the Lord. So the second one, charity is kind, which means to be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. That's what that word means. Krestuomai, or krestuomai, either way, it's all Greek to me. But it means to be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. That means sometimes I've got to change in order to help you. Lord, you know, I've helped that person so many times. All right, Lord, you're telling me to do it one more time. I'll do it one more time. Let's look at this. Galatians 5:13. But do not let this freedom become an excuse for letting your physical desires control you. Instead, everybody say instead, let love make you serve one another. Amen. Why is it so hard in the church for us to do that? There's so much schisms and strife and envy and quarreling and all this garbage in the church. It should not be. We need to protect each other and back each other, because if we don't have each other's back, we're sunk. And we're supposed to serve one another in love. When agape is working in your life, you don't demand that others be like you. Well, why can't they be just like me? Oh, my golly. Well, honey, why can't you be just like me? I want to be more like you, though. You got such a sweet spirit, hon. You really do. She does, doesn't she? But boy, don't get her mad. especially with me. Yesterday, I did pretty good. I said I was sorry, didn't I? Okay. I'm glad you guys don't go through this. I was at St. John's at the, you know, they had the big thing downtown where all the people were, and they had all the wagons and food and everything and different blocks. So I had the coffee house door open, and we were greeting people. Well, anyway, Candy said, I got to go to the store. And I said, well, I'm going to head home. Well, I really headed and got her a card and flowers. Yes. But boy, I tell you, she probably didn't want them after what happened. But anyway, it was like a peace offering. See? So I get home, and there's no key under the mat. Oh, did I say? I shouldn't have said that. The key under the mat. I'm tired. I want to get in my house. I can't get in my house. I looked in the windows. Were all locked, closed. I think I could have crawled in mine. I'm looking under the mat one time, walked away, looked on another one, walked away. And I didn't get mad at all. I thought, well, she'll be here in a little bit. The more I sat, the later it got. And I had my computer outside trying to finish my message and finish everything because it was like late at night. I was finally done. Well, anyway, she comes home, and by then, it's just boiling. I'm learning to love. So I said, where's the key? It was under the mat. It was on the other side. She put it on the other side. I said, why did you tell me you put it on the other side? Because I looked on this side. Well, just in case somebody always looks on that side to get the key, I put it on this side. Well, I said, you didn't tell me. Because sometimes the key, she puts it in the car. And so, you know, I said a few things, and she got mad and walked in the house. I said, I got these flowers and card. I don't think this is going to work. So I went out and got it and said, honey, I love you so much. Will you forgive me? I said, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Said I gave her the flowers and the card, and I thought, I hope this works. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, anyway. You guys ever go through that? No. You guys are more pure than I am. So thank you. Where was I? I think I was. I said, when agape is working in your life, you don't demand that others be like you. Yeah, okay. And instead, agape makes you want to bend over backwards to become what others need you to be for them. So I needed to be the righteous husband, didn't I? I've got flowers for you. Here's a card. Yes. Well, at first she wouldn't even look at it. I said, well, read the card. And I'll tell you what, the card was just mushy. It was great. It was perfect. And I knew that there would be forgiveness when she read that card. She was calling out for the grace of God, said, Lord, it was a good card. She said, thank you, honey. I said, whew, I'm off the hook. Forget the key. Okay. So where am I? Okay. I'm unkind, ain't I? Am I unkind? I'm unkind. So the word kind portrays a willingness to serve and to change in order to meet the needs of others. That's what it does. This is completely the opposite of selfishness and self-centeredness. And that's what the world we live in is, very self-centered. And when people are in strife and contention all the time, it's because they're very self-centered. They want what they want, but they don't want to give what they need to give. Does that make sense? So it becomes a very self-centered thing, and that's not what God called us to be. And I'm telling you, sometimes we all can be selfish or self-centered at certain times. We all do. But those are things that we learn to break and say, Holy Spirit, help me to break that. I don't want to be like that. And so we begin to ask the Spirit of God to help us. But really, when you see that, love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others needs it to be. That's love. God, help us to love like that. Help us to love like you love. And you know what? All of us are growing in it. How many know you're better than you were before? I'm better than I was years ago. Right, honey? Yeah, there's hope. Okay. But we're better than we used to be. Amen. Why? Because God's working on the love doctor. You know, he's the love doctor. He's working on us. He's helping us to be the best we can be for him. All right. Do I become what others need me to be? Think about that. Or do I demand that others be like me? Real agape love doesn't think of itself first, people. Indeed, it's always reaching out, thinking and focusing on the needs of others. Always reaching out. The person walking in agape love adapts to those around him in order to touch them, to help them, and impact them in a meaningful way. And like I said, people, sometimes we get hurt and we get wounded. I understand that. We all do. It's hard sometimes to reach out with God's love. You just sooner just forget him. That's how you feel sometimes. But that's not God's love. That's not the highest level of love that we're called in, that we should forsake, but we need to be called into that higher love. The third one, let's look at the last one here. Charity, agape love, envieth not. That's the word zelos, which portrays a person who's radically consumed with his own desires and plans. How many have ever met this people? It's all about them. And I'll tell you what, it's all about them so much, it just makes you, oh my golly, I got to get out of this. That can be a very toxic situation when it becomes all about them. But let's look at this. Philippians 2:4 says, abandon every display of what? Selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to your friends instead of your own interests. Now, God's not against us having our own interests and our own ambitions. Not at all. He wants you to have that. But sometimes when it becomes a selfish thing, that's all we consume and all we look at, we forget about others. Okay? So, this is a person so bent on getting his own way that he is willing to sacrifice anything or anyone to get it. You ever ran into somebody? I mean, they will walk all over you to get what they need. Wow. You might describe this person as being ambitious and self-centered. He is so consumed with himself that he doesn't ever think of the needs and desires of others. And it doesn't matter if it's he or she or whatever. Their own plans are paramount in their own mind. Everyone else comes after them. That's what the word envy means. It doesn't mean that I want. In a sense, it does because it wants what it wants, becomes very self-centered and forgets about everybody else. And you deal with that sometimes with even maybe your own family, relatives, and stuff like that because, I mean, you can look at a person and say, why are you so selfish? You know, why are you selfish? And I don't think people mean to be, but that's just a protection mode for them to just be that way. Listen, love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires of others. Possess. It thinks of other people. It says, you know what? I need to learn to give out of self and need to give to the other person. That's a high level of love. Listen, all these things I talked about are things that we work on. Things that we ask the Holy Spirit to remind us. Would you remind me, Holy Spirit? Things that we catch ourselves every day and say, you know what? Lord, there's a higher level of love. In this situation, I'm just going to ask you for your love and your grace and your mercy to be what I can be to help somebody else. Does that make sense? And so, anyway. So in closing, I just want to say this. So we need to examine our relationships at home. Think about this. How am I at home? Examine them at church, at work. And we need to ask ourselves, are we committed to seeing others blessed and successful, or are we more committed to our own cause than anyone else's? These are things that I've got to ask myself every day. Okay, what's more important? Boy, that's a big question. We know. If you're walking in agape love, your greatest concern is that others succeed. I want you to succeed. I want you to be the best you can be for God. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have breakthrough. I want you to have the peace of God and everything God is. I want God to let you have that. Why? Because that's what God wants for us. That's why it says to bless and not curse. I mean, the easiest thing to do is when somebody hurts you or comes after you is to curse them. But the thing that we need to do is say, Lord, there's many times I've driven by people's house and I reached my hand out and I said, Lord, bless them. I didn't feel it. I felt angry. I felt hurt. I felt betrayed. But as you reach out and you bless them, that's what Jesus said, bless those that curse you. and say all evil against you falsely. He said to bless them. Why? Because that's who God is. He's not a curser. He's a blesser. He doesn't curse anybody, but he blesses. And so he demands that we go to a higher love. Don't you like that? In a relationship, you can't just do what you want. You always have to think about the other person. And that's what people don't understand. Selfish people don't get it. But we do. Because we know how people reached out to us. Listen, if we see our lives not reflecting these attributes of God's love, you know what? We still have something to rejoice about. You say, Pastor, why would we rejoice about that? Because God is working in us. Amen? God is working in us. And we can be thankful. You can be thankful that God has revealed the areas that we need to work on. And you can ask him to help change you and make you more like Jesus. To make you more like Jesus. We all miss it. We all say things, put foot in mouth, insert. But God's still working on us, amen? Give each other grace. Don't expect them to be where you're at. Expect them to be where the Lord's bringing them. And every one of us are different. If we would learn to have grace with one another and just pray for each other instead of criticize and find out the negative things, but instead look at the positive things in each other's lives, I tell you what, that there is no church on the planet that could ever match a church like that with those attributes and gifts. When we start loving, do you know that we love those people that came? Blessing to the bikers from every background. Yeah, they were out here in the group smoking pot and all that. Someone came to me and said, they're out there smoking pot. I said, they're here. They're here and they're hearing the word of God. They can get high all they want. Well, bless God, we can't have that on the ground. Well, where else are you going to do it? Amen? Yeah. That's it. Let them smoke away. Nothing I can do about it. I remember picking up beer bottles out here. They were here. They were very respectful. They put the empty bottles, some of them, they put in their cases. But God was here. And we're here to love people where they're at, not where we think they should be. And allow God by the Holy Spirit to bring them. But people, that's the higher love. You can separate religion from higher love and agape love real easy. Because religion says, well, what are you going to do for me? And agape love says, what can I do for you? To be the greatest in the kingdom of God, to be the servant of all. God was totally the opposite. He was a servant of servants. But I just can't get what that, they're not getting me, I'm not getting anything. Well, what are you given? If you don't sow, you don't reap. And so God's higher love gives and gives and gives, even when nobody responds to it. That's hard. But it's, you're able to do that because of the Spirit of God in you. So everybody look at your partner or the person next to you and say, God's still working on me. Honey, God's still working on me. Amen. God is so good. He is. He's so awesome all the time, and all the time he's still good. But anyway, I'm challenging myself. I'm challenging you. There's a higher, higher love. And we'll talk more about some of the others too. But anyway, it's been a good day. It's been a good day. Chad, can we do that last song before we leave? I want to get you out plenty of time so you guys can go spend time. Amen. For Mother's Day. But I feel God's presence in this place. And you know what, people? This is what I pray. Holy Spirit, teach us to love like Jesus. Teach us to love like Jesus. When we miss it, when we mess up, when we say the things, let us be easy to forgive and move on. Serving one another means that we serve not because we have to, but because we want to. That's why we serve. That's God. That's God. Father, thank you. Thank you. Let's play this song, and then we're going to pray.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. Confidence, you've never failed me yet. faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my comfort.
I like that song. The promises are so sure. Amen. Amen. Well, Linda, David, family, we will be lifting you guys up in prayer. Yes, blessings, blessings, blessings on you guys during this time. And we rejoice with you. We really do. Even when this is a sad time, we rejoice. But he finished well. I believe that. He really finished well. Gary is one of the greatest teachers in the Old Testament, and I wanted him to teach here. But he was in and out, sick all the time and struggling. But anybody that understands the customs and the Jewish traditions and the temple and all the Old Testament, he did. I heard him years ago at Eric Stanton's church. I stopped in, and that was 15 years ago. Probably a long time. And he talked about pouring the oil on the rock. I never forgot that. Never forgot that. And I thought, wow. But anyway, he's going to be missed. He'll be missed. He knew how to pray. He knew how to rejoice when he was here on Wednesday nights. He just knew how to pray. So anyway, Gary, we take our loyalty and our hat off to you in heaven. That's not fair, but anyway, one day we'll all be there. Amen. Amen. But anyway, we love you guys. Happy Mother's Day. Enjoy the rest of your day, and God bless you. Walk in agape love. Amen.